You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and I am joined today by my good friend, colleague, and co-host, Ellen Davis. Hello, Ellen.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
It's real. Good.
It's real. Excited. It definitely is real. Mm-hmm. Got a lot going on, and we've got a great show because we're going to talk about something, well, that we call the big show. And to do that, we've got two experts who happen to also be
Actually,
colleagues.
Actually, it's called Retail's Big Show because the big show is a wrestler.
Really?
Yes.
But we've been calling it the Big Show for years.
If you Google that, you will find a very large man in a very small Speedo.
Okay, so we're going to call it NRF's Big Show. How about that?
Fantastic.
Thank you. So that's one of our guests. That would happen to be Susan Newman, who is the Senior Vice President of Conferences for the NRF. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you.
Our other guest is Angela Elder, who's the Vice President of Event Content and Education. And we are really pleased that she'll be able to join us to give us a little idea about all these people who have been providing some good insights for all of these attendees. Welcome, Angela.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So, the big show. Susan, how long has it been around?
About 107 years.
Not the big show, the wrestler, but the big show, the show.
I believe about 108 years now.
Really?
Yes.
So, what's changed in 108 years?
Well, I wasn't around.
I was going to say, Susan's been here all 108 of them.
Yes.
I've been here for 15 of them. And everything has changed, quite honestly. The show has expanded significantly. I think it's gotten more exciting and clearly larger. Every year we see more and more people heading to New York. This year, certainly, we found what the capabilities of this building is.
Yeah, but even lessened. I mean, we've had it, you know, the full building, and they've taken a big chunk of that away through reconstruction. So it is a learning.
It is.
New York City taxi drivers this morning even said, am I taking you to the Javits Center for NRF?
Well, that's because
we also take over the city.
38,000?
37,000? But I will say what's changed is the technology. Certainly what we're seeing, what we saw back on the expo floor back in the day was very different than what you're seeing today. I think, you know, the innovation is amazing.
I think it's really cool too. I mean, to Susan's point, it feels like this show changes with the industry, right? I mean, 108 years ago, the retail industry was very different, and you guys have done a really good job of kind of transforming the big show as the industry evolves to influence, you know, you look at digital, you look at technology, you look at some of the content. Can you talk a little bit about the way that you're thinking about the show transforming? Maybe I'll turn it to Angela just from a content perspective. What would content have looked like 10 or 20 years ago? What does it look like today, given the changes that retail's going through?
Well, I think that one thing that a story that's certainly ringing true in the retail industry is you can't think about physical without thinking about digital. And that's happening, certainly. We heard Hearst yesterday talk about that in the media and publishing industry. You can't think about just print, but you've got to think about digital. And I think that we're approaching content in that same way. So we've got the live experience, and then what can we be doing at the show that makes it live longer in the digital space? So that's certainly social media, having podcasts on site, interactivity with the audience using the mobile app for live polling, for submitting questions, just to up that audience engagement, in addition to obviously trying to attract, you know, top leaders who can speak about the change in the industry and really the change in the world.
I thought it was interesting today. I was listening to the session where the man from Visa was speaking. He also was talking about transformation, and somebody asked a question about payments and credit cards. And, you know, what do you think about, you know, credit cards and our credit cards dying? And this is very much like a store versus online thing. He's like, we don't want to be in the credit card business. We want to be in the commerce business. We're in the payments business. And so, you know, whether it's publishing, whether it's payments, whether it's retail, there's this whole convergence theme that I feel like the big show's done a really nice job of taking advantage of from a thought leadership standpoint.
Well, I don't think we're going to have to worry about retail much longer because it's dying. Well, that's what I heard. Or that's what I read, the retail apocalypse.
Yeah, all 37,000 people, I mean, they're maybe just going to evaporate, don't you think?
I'm beginning to think, Susan, you're working your way out of a job. But I mean, you know, to push back on that narrative, which we do every single day because it's absolutely wrong, I think The Big Show provides us with a great story to tell. I mean, a place to tell the story right. with the people that can tell it most compellingly. And we've had some extraordinary speakers. And, you know, to me, Angela, I think part of the interesting thing as it relates to the content are the storytellers are these CEOs, these leaders that are talking about sustainability. They're talking about things other than selling a product. They're talking about things that impact people's lives, not only in the communities that they serve, but globally. And that's kind of exciting.
They're also talking about resiliency, both with their company and personally. How do they prepare themselves and their teams to be resilient in an industry that's going through lots of change? And how do they, you know, prepare their whole company, their whole organization to be a lifelong learner, to anticipate that change, to be excited by it, to roll with it.
Susan, when you go out and you, you know, there's a lot of exhibitors here. Is there something that you've seen trending wise that some exhibitors that may have been here 10 years ago just don't belong here today, and some exhibitors that you would not have even considered 2 years ago are here in a big way?
So yes. I mean, way back in the day, there were hangars and display units on this floor, right? I mean, so we've gotten away from the simplistic technology. That's okay, not that it hangers, I'm surprised you didn't jump on that one. Not that it hangers technology, but I mean, the entire show has completely changed over the course of time. Now, you know, we're seeing robotics and drones and AI and chatbots, and I mean, there's just things that we never would have thought we'd be seeing. Even honestly, I don't even think 3 years ago some of this stuff would have necessarily, we would have thought it was as mainstream as it's becoming.
Right.
I guess our trick is actually to figure out what goes in the innovation lab next year,
right.
As that has to look forward, you know, 5 to 10 years. So trying to figure that out is going to be the trick for next year for sure.
I think it's cool because to your point, Susan, about hangers and, you know, garments, this is a show that's really applicable to all types of retailers. You know, you see hardware stores here, home improvement stores here, you see drug stores here. So while many people think retail and they think fashion, and there is a place for that, surely, and we have a lot of great apparel and fashion retailers here in beauty, it's really amazing how a lot of this technology can be implemented by companies who...
Restaurants, grocery,
exactly.
Entertainment, absolutely.
Yep, yep.
You know, Susan, I didn't tell you this, and I've been meaning to, that I was going down the escalator the other day, and there were two guys behind me having a conversation, and they were talking about being at the Big Show. And he said, you know, it is so cool to come to the Big Show because you feel like you're a part of a bigger community. He goes, we get so focused on our little narrow lane, and then you get here and you realize there's a lot of people. We're doing a lot of the same things. You're meeting people. You're renewing old friendships that you only have once a year for a few days. And the other guys, yeah, he said, yeah, it's kind of cool to be a part of a community. So we're providing this opportunity for these people to come together and to recognize the depth and the breadth of what they have. It's not just the exhibits. It's that human interaction that make a big difference. And how do we facilitate that? I mean, do we receptions? What do we do to ensure that these people have this opportunity?
We do receptions. We have dinners. I think the really fun part about Retail's Big Show is so many of the vendors have their own activities. And so they take this time to bring together their customers and potential customers and have big parties. And there's so many ways that people, from meeting up just in lounges. I mean, there are so many lounges around here now where people can sit and gather. We have the clubhouse upstairs where people connect. I think a lot of that connection is impromptu, to be honest. I think the fun part about being here is who you run into in the building. So not all of it is pre-planned, and I'll meet you at, you know, 2 on Tuesday. But it's the, oh my gosh, Bob, I haven't seen you in years, which is part of what they take away, like the fun connections that they have. So that's, I mean, we did retailer startup matchmaking. So that was an opportunity for people to also have conversations about things that they're seeing or needs that they have and that sort of thing too. So
other than the space, which is an issue this year and will be an issue next year because we've literally, we're blowing the...
And the year after that.
And the year after that, right? We're blowing the doors off the Javits. So space is a challenge. But what else are you thinking about? You know, what's on your mind as you think about the big show for next year? What do we... A, how can we improve it? But B, you know, just what are you trying to think about that for both of you from a content perspective and events perspective? What are you going to be thinking about as you plan Big Show 19?
From my perspective on the logistics side, I mean, we already have been talking about the challenges that we've seen this year. There were significant changes this year when we lost space. There were definitely challenges with crowds and the ancillary services that people receive.
And we lost space because the North Hall is being torn down and reconstructed, not for any other reason.
So our keynote room is gone. So we had to kind of adjust and put the keynote room in what was breakout room. So, you know, with overflow in terms of streaming content, honestly, we have conversations right now about how do we improve this? Like how can we do coat check better? And how do we get better food options and serve people faster? There's all of those conversations. As always, we take the feedback that we get from the surveys and take them very seriously and figure out what the trends are and what frustrated people the most or what worked the best. And then we'll act upon those needs and challenges to try to improve the show logistically and operationally.
Mm-hmm. From a content perspective, we have to plan this event so far in advance, but we have to, which means we have to anticipate what's going to be top of mind to the retailer audience in 2019. This year, the theme was transformation, so we brought in lots of brands and companies who can speak to how their business has changed over the course of decades. So what our theme is going to be next year, we have to uncover what's going to really resonate with attendees and the audience, what they want to learn about, which, you know, we have to be a little bit futurist in that regard.
It's such an interesting balance because, of course, you know, the big names that are a big draw are going to take you a long time to lock up, but you need to stay nimble because there's something that's going to be relevant that happens during the holiday season that if you can hop on it, you know, in November, December and still have space for it, it could be a big draw for attendees. So it's a really interesting balance, I think.
Yeah. And because of the scale of the show, the different types of retailers that we have here of all shapes and sizes, that can sometimes be a challenge. But the one thing that is a unifying piece of all of that is they all serve customers. So you can't go wrong with talking about what is the latest customer journey and how the latest tactics for acquiring customers, retaining their loyalty. So there are some topics that we know will continue to resonate.
The tried and true. That's what Terry Lindgren said today. Karen Katz said today at the end of her...
Who's Karen Katz?
Karen Katz, the retiring CEO of Neiman Marcus, was asked at the end of her keynote by the moderator, you know, what's her advice for the new CEO of Neiman Marcus because she's getting ready to retire. And she said, you've got to focus 1,000% on what the customer wants. And, so there was this conversation about how, you know, even though the industry is changing, what is not changing is the fact that you got to keep your eyes focused on the customer. And I think you're right that that's a theme that will continue to permeate the big show, if you will.
You're choking Susan up.
Apparently.
Excuse me.
I have a tendency to do that.
So the other interesting aspect of this is just the experience alone, Susan, in trying to determine, you know, what's new, what's working best, not just for the big show, but there's a lot of shows around the country, a lot of big shows. Do you get ideas from them? Do you go to those shows? Is that something that you kind of try to incorporate into what you're trying to determine works and what might work better, or maybe we want to try something new?
Yes. Actually, I get some of my best ideas from events that I have attended and brought back to the NRF. Everybody has their own creativity stream and new elements that they try at their show, just like we do here. And as we know, some work and some don't. So if I can pick the ones that they're trying that are working and bring them here, it's always fun and exciting to me to try new things and see how the audience reacts or the attendees react.
I would assume some of your peers are here looking at what you're doing as well.
Yeah, the Big Show is actually definitely a destination for many of my industry peers who put on trade shows, and people who also are doing shows in the Javits specifically, because we are the highest user of space within the Javits, in terms of we use every inch of this building to sell as sponsorships, banners. We actually are Freeman's number one customer of banner production.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, if you look around, I believe it.
Yeah, there's a lot of banners here. Yeah, so people are coming and checking out what we're doing just the same, which is exciting.
Can we do a little big show by the numbers?
Oh. I would love
to. So I'm going to see, let me see if I've got some good ones. How many exhibitors do we have this year, Susan?
About 700.
How many shuttle buses do we have running back and forth? Come on, give me a guess. Shuttles run how many times a day? Five or six different routes times every 15 or 20 minutes. Why didn't I bring my calculator to this? I'm setting you up to fail.
It's a big number.
Bottles of water. Come on, we've got some really good numbers. I know you guys do that. Donuts.
How many donuts?
We just went over this stat yesterday. I think we said it was like, because we were at like 28 dozen donuts or something.
That's not very many.
No, I know. Maybe it's gotta be wrong. 128 dozen.
Yeah, 28,000 donuts?
Did I mention that it's been a really long week?
How many hours have you been awake, Susan?
Yeah, that's a good one. Well,
But I look around. I mean, gallons of coffee. I mean, it's
ridiculous.
It's unbelievable, because we've got to keep these people engaged, and we've got to make sure that they're not looking to go off campus in order to find, you know, these certain things that they want to have.
Well, and it's cold outside,
and it's
too.
Cold.
Nobody wants
to
do that,
for sure,
right?
It's cold outside.
Do you track your steps at the big show, Susan?
I do.
And, okay, can you give us that number?
Well, we do it daily.
Okay.
Most of us get in anywhere between 5 to 10 miles a day.
Just walking around the Javits.
Just walking around the Javits. Mm-hmm. And we also do flights.
Oh.
Yeah.
See?
How many speakers do we have, Angela?
We have, I believe we've landed over 300, but my fun fact, the thing that I think we're most proud of this year is on our keynote stage, we had 42% of our keynote speakers who were women, and they're well represented throughout the show. So that was something that our team was particularly proud of.
I heard an attendee actually say that proactively to me. We were talking, and she said, one of the things I'm really impressed with is representation of women at the show. And I was like, it doesn't just happen.
That's right. You got to really dig into. I mean, you know, it's maybe easier to find the CEOs of the top companies who are on the circuit all the time, but it's really hard to be very disciplined and say, okay, we're going to make this very balanced from an ethnic perspective, gender perspective, a type of company perspective. Like, you got to look at the whole portfolio.
So, as the only one at this in this podcast that has probably not reached double digits in the number of big shows that they've been to.
You.
That would be me.
Yeah.
As the only one. I
How many have you had, Angela?
This is number 11.
I'm 15.
I think I'm 16, but I had a year off from maternity leave, so I'm probably the same as Susan.
So that's quite significantly more than mine. So I get to ask this question of the three of you, and that is one of the, if you look at all of those 15 or that 11, one moment that sticks out in your mind at the big show that you'll never forget.
Mine actually is not a positive moment. I don't know. Do you want me to?
That's okay.
We, it was the year that we decided to do a boxed lunch, and we used to do a sit-down luncheon, and we didn't realize that when it became a boxed lunch, people would actually come and get the lunches and leave, as opposed to the quantity we used to have to get when it was a sit-down luncheon. And those lunches disappeared because all the exhibitors came out of their booth, grabbed a box, and left. And lunches were gone within the first, 10 minutes of us distributing it. And it was an hour and a half lunch. And so when the balance of people came to get their lunches, we didn't have any.
Wow.
And people were not very happy about that at all. And I was kind of at the front line. So that is the memory that I have. That's
the one out of 15.
Yeah.
You'll never forget.
Yeah.
Angela?
My favorite moments, certainly.
Say favorite, just for the record.
Oh.
That wasn't my favorite.
Sorry.
I would hope not.
Memorable moments. There's so many. I mean, I really like the notes that our team gets following the show from speakers or their teams or even attendees who've just talked about their experience. And that really just that positivity keeps us going and inspires us every year.
It's nice that people take the time to let you know. You always hear about the bad stuff. You never always hear about the good stuff. So that's great. Ellen?
Mine is probably, I remember the very first time this happened to me. My first show was in 2003. When you put, and I at the time wasn't even here very long, but so many people put hours and days of their lives into the show. And I remember the very first time a cab pulled up to the Javits Center, and there's this gigantic, you know, Retail's Big Show sign outside, and you walk in and you see the just how just magnificently huge everything is. And you get this moment where you're like, holy smokes, like, this is a pretty small group of people. I mean, Susan's team is not big. Our content team is not big. And our staff does a lot of amazing work for only being 100 or 110 people. But every year when you when I pull up to the Javits Center, it's like, oh my gosh, we're getting ready to do this again. Is this just jolt of energy that is just so cool, and it kind of gets you through that adrenaline that you're going to need for the next week or so of your life, just to realize that a really pretty small, lean group of people puts this together every way, and I think that I, in a way that I think really positively impacts the industry and all the people in it.
Yeah. You know, I would just say, being the newbie at six shows, the thing that has always struck me year after year after year, and I even mentioned it today when I was in the staff office, is the level of energy that you can actually draw off of. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling like, gosh, this is never going to end, or I'm tired, you walk that hall, you listen to those conversations, you see those people, you hear all of the different languages that are being spoken, and you're just energized. And it's really weird, and it sounds like, you know, wow, Bill, you drank the Kool-Aid. But I will tell you that if you talk to people, whether they're an attendee or a staff person or an observer or a media type, they will tell you the energy really speaks to the quality of the show.
And then we crash.
And then we crash.
And I would say it's because of the 112 dozen donuts, because that number just came back into my head.
Okay, that's sugar.
That makes
more sense.
Well, sugar helps. So, Angela, Susan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for
having
me.
I truly appreciate it. Ellen, thank you for co-hosting.
Enjoyed it.
And to everyone out there, we thank you for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed here today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks for listening, and from the Javits Center in beautiful New York City, see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.